I need to find a Dragon Age mod that makes the hands smaller.
You've got problems with Dragon Age hands. That's like...
Yes!
Baby hands.
No, they're huge.
Dragon Age hand mod. Let's see. Nexus must have had...
I couldn't find one when I last looked.
Dragon Age 2. NPC hands. No, it's Dragon Age 2. Is it 2 or Origins you've got a problem with?
Origins? Their hands are massive.
Apparently it is.
I can understand elf hands, but flipping dwarf hands...
Well, dwarf hands, like, they're chunky, you know, they're like, you know, makes sense. Big hands on the dwarf, holding that pickaxe, you know.
Looks ridiculous. Humans have no reason to have huge hands either.
I played two-handed warrior, so I didn't really notice. You're just holding a giant hammer, so... I was going to say I just found a BioWare Dragon Age Origins underwear mod, but oh well, I'll just...
Why is that on one of the top of the list?
The description for the mod is, this is a retexture of the underwear of human females.
Of course it is.
Gotta specify. You don't want no male underwear, because that would be gay.
The male underwear is a bit low res, isn't it, in Dragon Age, I'd say.
I didn't spend a whole lot of time looking at it.
No, but when you strip your character, it's in the dungeon sequence when you see your underwear. Yeah, nowhere else.
That is true, I remember that. That is the only time when you have a good reason to.
I'm going to Google underwear Dragon Age Origins.
Oh god, you're going to get loads of bad
male underwear Dragon Age Origins, here we go. Boobs, 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 boobs. Here we go, Alistair in his underwear splattered in blood. And he still has his weapons for some reason.
Does he look sexy?
I'm sure he does. I'm not really to judge. Let's see.
You are there to judge.
Alright, yeah. I don't know. I'm not reserving judgment.
Gammy, you never told me. Who did you try and get with?
I still haven't gotten that far. Oh god. I just did an image search for Alistair's underwear. There are lots of pictures.
Are there retextures for Alistair's underwear? I'm surprised. He's so popular.
I can't see any retextures. I just see...
Alistair underwear retexture. Let's see.
What the fuck are we doing?
I'm fascinated. I can't look away, guys.
Well, you said last time that other people other than my cousin listened to this.
I don't know who they are.
Very,
very confused people.
Very lonely people. If you're out there, come to the forums. We'll be nice.
Yeah, actually take part in game chat.
If you're already on the forums, speak up.
Are they all unique people or repeat listeners?
We don't know.
It might just be all forum people, and it's just every single person who ever goes to the forums listens to this. That might make up the number.
Even I don't listen to this.
I know you don't. Did you even listen to the last one?
I listened to the end. No, I didn't. I listened to none of it.
Well, we should probably... ESL 1. Make words about that.
Yes, ESL. Electronic Wizards. Battling it out in an online battle arena. So this was a thing of the game who dare not speak its name.
Dota.
I will not talk about the game at all.
He's gone.
Really?
He's gone.
I'll just talk about the event because it was really cool. It was really more like a gaming event that more than I don't know. It was like I expect something like Gamescom to be. There were booths with stuff like Evolve and loads of gaming peripherals. You could buy T-shirts and paraphernalia. And, of course, there was the massive screen. And it's really weird watching a game with other people. It started when we got to the hotel and we saw a couple of awkward people speaking English wearing very nerdy T-shirts.
Definitely there.
And as we wandered Frankfurt that day, this is me and my Dutch friend who I went with. every now and then you would see small groups of people looking not quite at ease or slightly out of place. And
they're not fulfilling the stereotype at all, are
well,
they?
Well, they weren't all wearing ponytails and neckbeards, but you know, there was
a majority.
There were some. There was a fair share of ponytails and neckbeards.
Were there neckbeards?
There were neckbeards aplenty, and yeah, and also BO, a lot of BO. But you know,
God,
yeah, you know, it was all right.
That's why I don't really want to go to a gaming convention, because I hear that you can get there and then just a waft of BO hits you.
It was in a, you know.
Well, apparently at QuakeCon they used to get clouds of sweat.
Nope. You breathe that. Nope. That's the stuff you breathe.
It was in an arena, you know, it was quite a large space. It wasn't too bad, but you know, every now and again, if you would choose to be in the queues, you would be exposed to quite a lot of stink, I guess. But yeah, no, it was really weird. So we went to this pre-event, and I met Sonata, Nebica, and Chris Thurston, and Ollie.
Oh my god, you met Chris
Thurston. I did. He's a very short person.
Was he as fabulous as he looks?
Is he short?
Oh, leave him alone.
I didn't know he was short.
He is tiny
no,
man.
I just didn't know.
Everyone always goes on about this.
Does he still have a beard?
He has kind of a... Are you guys really fawning over this? Like...
Yes.
Does he have his rose and his horse?
Does he have a wizard hat?
The entire room went quiet when he entered. It was, you know, quite quiet some angels.
Did you speak to him?
I did indeed.
Did you say you were a listener of Crane and Cromer?
I did. I also found out that I went to the same uni as he did, which is
wow.
Cool. And yeah, no, it was cool. We talked about the dotes and the meta, as we say, and Crane and Crowbar, and he raised the live podcast idea that he also raised in the podcast, or that was raised in the podcast as well, which would be really cool, of course. And
what, this one?
No, the live CNC, so the CNC with an audience, that would be that.
Yeah, I've not heard about that.
As in, what, live and stream?
Yeah, I think so. So, or with an audience.
I hope it would be streamed.
Like live and live.
It would probably be there's mosquitoes in my room, guys. Oh, it's alright.
Oh, kill them.
I can't.
Kill
I can't. I can't malaria. Move, guys. I've got a laptop on my lap.
Kill them for Bill Gates.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, Bill Gates will love you.
These are not malaria bearing mosquitoes. So they'll, if anything, they'll.
You should keep a badminton racket near.
If anything, they'll compete with the
you
malaria.
You should get one of those
mosquitoes.
Tennis rackets, the electric.
Yeah, we got one.
Turn on and swat them.
We got one. The best is when you use them with wasps because they live for a really long time when they spasm. I'm sorry that you. You probably didn't need to know that. But...
Violent child, of video games to play.
So yeah, Frankfurt. So we met Chris Thurston and I had loads of drinks, loads of beers, and as he mentioned in the last podcast, loads of sausages, because there were only sausage stands at the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So I had lots of Frankfurters in Frankfurt, and yeah, it was just amazing. The cheering with a crowd, it was really a strange, it was always a surreal experience. Also seeing like people you've seen on streams and stuff, and so with names such as Arteezy, Chuan, Dendy, like really bizarre nicknames if you think about it, but it was, yeah, just really cool seeing him. And I'd recommend going to an event like this to anyone. Oh, God, sorry, I'm watching football as well.
We're not.
We are, it's a rule.
It's not a rule. Did you not hear the that rule broke when Jammy sliced me together saying stupid things about football.
You can put me in as the voiceover.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I've gotta watch that.
Yeah, well, you know, it was just really cool, and Frankfurt, not a great city actually, like not a whole lot to see there, but I would say come join me sometime at the next LAN event where I have money and I can go, because now I'm...
Come to the UK, because that's where we all live.
Yeah, well, I'll be it.
Sure, except... I have a couple of grand for a ticket.
Come on, Jeremiah, you can make
I'm
it.
I'm in the UK like half the year, but not right now.
Yeah, I think Jeremiah just needs pep talk.
Yeah, as does Oddwood. Oddwood can just swim, you know.
Sure thing.
bet he's up for it.
Are you east or west coast?
Yes, I am east coast.
Well, there you go. It's fine.
Just go for it then.
Get
a canoe, yeah, get over here.
All you need to do, Uramar, is dig straight down, and you'll get here eventually.
End up straight in the ocean.
Yeah.
Also,
and turn a bit.
It's like, just look at the things that live on the surface of Australia. Can you imagine what lives underneath?
Oh, Lord.
The nether kangaroo.
Well, it's alright, because Cthulhu's like in the middle of the Pacific or something.
What is that?
Oh, that's really loud. I'm sorry. I'll switch to touch to talk.
That's a funky ringtone.
Touch to talk.
Press to talk.
Made that sound really, like, sleazy.
Caress to talk.
Sorry, but either way, it's Orange is the New Black.
Ah.
That's a good show.
It is. We're just about to finish series one.
So we're both watching people in Orange doing things. I'm just watching them do...
Yeah, you're just watching better people in Orange.
I'm watching them kick things. You're watching them, I don't know, shoot things? I don't know what they do in Orange is the New Black.
They beat each
other. Is there a little shivving?
Do lesbian things. There's lots of lesbian activity.
No, a little shivving. I don't know. Not sure if I can buy into a prison drama about shivs. After that Skyrim...
Maybe.
I need shivs.
Maybe we should talk about how much the Dota International... prize fund distribution.
I'm not sure that's a very good... I don't know. It's cool.
I haven't heard a single thing
about
it.
So, it's 10 million, but it's going to be 4 million or something for the number one, and then 10,000.
4 million?
Yeah, which is more than...
Hold on, I've got the numbers here. It's more than 4, it's 4-7.
Ka-ching.
For the winners?
For the winners. The winning team.
That's fucking ridiculous.
13th and 14th get 20k each.
That's like more than most tournaments these days, so yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. First place gets 46%, second 13.5%, third 9.5%, fourth 7.5%, fifth and sixth 6%, seventh and eighth 4.5%, and then it drops off in 9th to 10th to 0.45%.
Sounds like a very, very profitable industry to be in.
Yeah.
If you can do it.
If you're good.
If you're in the top 10 people in the world, it's amazing. Yeah.
Which I am, obviously.
Of course you are. You just need some practice, as do I.
Yeah. I just need to play more Zeus.
Yeah.
It's fucking amazing.
Just play Zeus, just steal kills and...
Play Zeus exclusively. I am Zeus only. That is my team name, Zeus.
Totally legit.
Takuna, you can play as Io. We'll start a team.
The glowing submarine.
You can't. You can't lure me in that way.
Oh, I can.
Relocate the hero with the global ultimate. That is like next level. Sorry, that's meta. Sorry. I'll stop now. This does mean the prize pool distribution does mean that two people in last and second to last place will get nothing.
Wow. So you did lose.
Yeah,
so.
So two people will go home with nothing. And the next one up...
Only two. That's, like, even worse for them. They're, like, the only people for whom the trip was
and the
not
next one's
worth
up,
it.
We'll win 20k. So that's, like, a pretty big disparity between 15th and 14th place.
Yeah.
Even though that's only 0.2% of the prize pool I see here. But...
They should have at least, like, saved a fiver for each team. Just like, really rub it in.
Just like a gift card to the sausage stand or something.
All-day bus pass.
A pat on the back from Robin Walker.
A trip to the top of the Space Needle, that seems like, yeah.
Everybody lines the door as they're going out and claps them out. That's what they win.
You get to touch the hem of the garment of whoever was like someone on the winning team.
you get to get spat on by the winners. Just first place to come and just spit on you. Like, there you go. That's
just
what you
make
win.
Sure you keep your mouth open.
Gotta save that good DNA.
If you can absorb their spit, you gain their power.
Nah, you have to eat the brain for that.
Still, over 4.5 million, that's,
still rising as well.
At that point, if you're, like, just a modest, living person who's, like, reasonable and not one of these, like, lottery winners that blows it all immediately, You don't ever need to work again. Like, how many...
Fuck yeah, you do.
No, it's split over five people and the organization. So, with the 4.7 million, half of that approximately goes, I think, to the organization. So, that's EG, I think. So, that's say, for the last prize pool, they won... I think it was 3 million for the number one. So, half of that went to the manager or something like that. And the other half went to the team. And that's five people. So, that's like...
I'll be the manager.
I mean, that's still a lot of money, 200K.
Dota teams have managers?
Yeah, they've got big...
They have training areas and all sorts.
They've got training houses. They're usually sponsored by...
I'd say watch the documentary Free to Play.
Yeah.
It doesn't take that much time, and it really reveals a lot about the whole tournament and situation. And you'll find yourself getting stoked about people winning.
True. And Alliance and stuff are sponsored by... Well, how would you call it? Corporations also have stuff in League of Legends, Call of Duty, Battlefield 4, CSGO.
Oh, but the Call of Duty bloody professional players are terrible.
Yeah, well, they're in Counter Strike as well. They're in pretty much everything. So, Evil Geniuses, for example, is the big one, which have a really cool name. I love it. Mm. But they're just in. They've got a lot of fingers in, little pies. And it's a pretty profitable business. Team Liquid as well is another big one.
I thought they were just StarCraft.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I was saying, is that the company that manages all these teams has, you know, like a StarCraft team.
Oh, okay, right.
They have a StarCraft team and other, you know, separate teams.
Oh, was I not clear? Sorry,
I missed that first part.
So, 10.5 million prize pool.
It's going to be more. It's going to get to, I think, 12 million before the finals, because you can still buy compendiums during the international, and people are going to buy loads of compendiums when they start, when the tournament starts. The items, immortal items, are also, like, yeah, it's going to be a lot of money.
They put half of the, because a compendium's $5, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they put $2.50 of that in the prize pool for every compendium bought. That's a lot of compendiums bought.
Yeah.
A lot of fucking magic internet books.
Yeah. Can I make a magic internet book and people will buy loads of copies of that?
I'll buy your magic internet book.
As long as you put a wizard on that around it.
It'll be about wizards exclusively.
Will I get items with my magical internet book?
I will send you a t-shirt in the post.
No, I want digital items with my magical internet book.
No.
Send photos of t-shirts.
You get a t-shirt. Yeah.
Physical items are too much.
You can have photos of a t-shirt, and once you collect all of one type of t-shirt, you have a 50-50 chance of getting sent a real t-shirt.
You have a 50-50 chance of getting a badge of a t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. There we go. See, I needed you.
And you can level up your t-shirt. You can go from t-shirt to button-up to muscle shirt.
No, you go from small to medium to large, and then you go XL, double XL, triple XL.
And then you get a wizard
then
robe.
Then you get a wizard robe and a hat.
Can I win rewards for upgrading my t-shirt badge?
You will win backgrounds, plain white backgrounds. And just plain white, exclusively.
I love this already.
It's a great idea. I don't know why nobody else has done it before. So that's Dota 2 news.
That is Dota 2 news.
We'll move on from that now.
Takuna, what have you been playing? Quickly.
Yeah, quickly, before we lose him.
Sorry, I'm setting up Wi-Fi for my little brother's friend, so I can't talk right now.
Who's going to start with what they've been playing? Should I go, because I'm at the top?
Yeah.
Just been playing Doctor, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been dying. I've been playing Death. It's a not very fun game. It's just not great. Now, there's two games I've been playing, really. Civ 5 multiplayer with Jammy. And
just me.
Yeah, just you. Oh, here's the other player. Jammy, Kian, and Vopera. And I've also been playing Luftrausers. So, yeah, I'll start with Civ 5 multiplayer, which is very fun. I've never really played Civ 5 in multiplayer before. I've only ever played it single player. And the whole, you know, managing to get people together thing is still quite difficult. Kian! Still quite difficult. Kian. So, yeah. But when we are playing, it's a lot of fun.
Oh, no!
Because The situation... I can see how that's annoying now. The situation right now is that Otto von Bismarck is an evil dictator tyrant trying to take over the world after he attacked Jammy unprovoked. And we all came to...
At the start of the game.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Immediately was like, oh, gotta attack this guy.
So, I wasn't even close to him or anything.
No. So we started, you know, we all worked together then, and, you know, it's been a sort of cold war between the three of us as we all try and gather resources and defend without alerting anybody else. At least that's what
I'm doing. It's a bit weird.
Yeah, because we're all pretending to be friends, like, yeah, we'll come help you. And then as soon as one of us made peace with Otto, everybody else did. So we're like, we just left Jammy to his death.
I made peace with Otto.
He did, and he gave him, the AI did a bit of a weird thing here, and gave Kian a couple thousand gold coins, and then I declared peace next, I got nothing. Yeah.
He gave me a couple thousand gold coins, four horses, six iron, open borders, gems. Give me everything.
Did you just demand, like, everything?
He didn't even demand anything.
I said, peace for peace, and then what would make this deal work? And he just gave me everything.
I went to declare peace with him second, just after Kian. I said, I want peace for peace. What will make this deal work? And it was just like, yep.
Yeah, well, he didn't have anything left, would he?
No. I declared peace with him like that. Then Voparov went next and got some sheep, some gems.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was Jammy's go, and he gave Jammy things too.
250 gold and some pearls.
Yeah, I got nothing. I was the one who took his city, technically, because without my catapult, we'd have all been done for. I get Jack. So I'm going to have to wipe him out eventually.
You get a good sense of satisfaction.
Of a war well done. But yeah, it's the load times get a bit ridiculous, but that's probably because we're playing the original.
Oh,
because someone, Kian, doesn't have the expansion packs. So we don't have Religion or Brave New World.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, because I found out recently that they optimised it in those two expansion packs so that the AI took less time between turns in the late game. So we have to wait a while. And there are some issues with... I think you had your game crash last time, didn't you, Jammy?
Yeah.
Yeah, so still, you know, performance bugs and everything. But as a multiplayer experience, I think it's very fun. It creates... Who played Neptune's Pride 2 here?
I did.
Me.
Yeah. Imagine, like, the way we're playing it now, obviously we know who each other are. But if we didn't, I think it would be a better version of Neptune's Pride. Because there's more depth to it.
Yeah.
Whereas Neptune's Pride is just, my big number of ships goes here and over there.
It's bigger than your number of ships.
Yeah, so I win. Oh, you have bigger weapons. Doesn't matter. Have more ships.
I said I wouldn't attack you, but I am attacking you now. Haha.
That's some
Nobody expected this. The only other civilization I've found.
Damn your sudden but inevitable betrayal.
Oh, nobody saw that coming. Because, you know, we have half the planets each.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, yeah, I think if there was a way to hide the player's identity... It would be a very fun game.
Yeah.
It would be great.
Love that. I would play that.
Yeah.
That is the game I want to play.
But I haven't found a way to do it.
I remember playing it for the first time with my friend, and we thought it didn't show nationalities at first. So we were saying, oh, I'm not going to tell you who I am. Oh, I just had something very good happen to me. And halfway through the game, we realized that it showed on the left your name next to the icon of your civilization. And we just had been playing blind for no reason. We just hadn't seen it yet. But, yeah, but with two players, it's not a lot of fun, because, you know, the AI is not that good that it justifies playing with two people, but I can imagine with loads of people, it's good. Doesn't have a hot seat mode as well, where you just check in every now and then?
Yeah.
It does, yeah. And a pit boss mode.
Those take too long, even though it takes a while to get everybody together.
That would take even longer than...
Yeah, but it means you can just focus on, like, you don't have to keep stopping and waiting. When you're actually in the game, you can just keep doing it. Well, the amount of times I'd have had to have waited just to set a civilization up on that island would have been ridiculous.
And I have civilizations all over the place.
Yeah. Kian's strategy is to find iron and then settle a city by it and then not develop the iron and just leave it sitting
because
there.
Because we were at war.
Are you basically trying to jumpstart the British Empire?
I'm saying the American Empire.
Oh, yes. It is, it's America who's Kian.
And Russia.
And Russia who's Vopera.
So,
and
we're talking more like Britannia from Code Geass.
Mm. And I'm Japan, because they get great, great combat special ability.
Yeah. Oh, God, that's so good.
Yeah, I just, it's...
I picked America because they were the most, like, neutral country.
I was going to pick Britain and represent, but, yeah.
They're not very good.
They're not very good. I'm not a seafaring kind of guy, so it's all, like, you get +2 to movement speed in sea and stuff like that. Whereas Japan, all combat units fight as if they were at full strength, no matter how damaged they are.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, combine that with the samurai, and they're just unstoppable.
Yeah. My samurai haven't fought anybody yet. They're just sort of milling around because I'm not at war with anybody.
Yet.
I will. One of these days I will get Mount Fuji back.
How could you get it back if you never owned it in the first place?
Well, clearly Mount Fuji is in Japan. So.
It's got a Japanese name.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that it's your start bias anyway, so...
I'm going to culture bomb the shit out of you.
And you're not thinking big enough. The reason it's yours is because the world is yours.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Take what's yours.
I will take the world. Speaking of Civilization 5, though, I want Beyond Earth now. Not in October. I want it now. I want to play it now. Because it's fun.
You should contact developers, ask for the hide your identity thing, like right now.
Yeah.
Say what up.
That'd be a great idea. What up, devs? Let me hide my identity when we play multiplayer. Well, they've never really focused on multiplayer, is the thing.
Yeah, well, understandably, it's not the most, easy multiplayer experience set up.
But it's one of the most fun I've had in a long time.
True. It does grind a bit after a time, but it alleviates... the 200 turn syndrome where you're just, I need to set everyone to sleep again. And
Well, when you've got people, when you're talking to somebody, the whole, little movements between my city's going to grow in 2 turns makes it better because you can just talk. Like, you don't have to be 100% focused on the game.
What are your thoughts on the non-stackable units?
I freaking love not being able to stack units. Biggest issue I ever had with Civ 4 was the stacks of death. They were... It was
The only thing is...
The blocks.
Because you can't stack things when you move, say with a big army, and you try and move them into position, it never looks good because they're all like facing in different directions. It's not like Total War where you have this massive army and you can see the flanks and the cavalry and everything. It's just like... Your spearmen are facing the wrong way, and someone else is facing the sea.
You put them into defense mode, and they all go, huh, but facing your territory. And I'm like, what are you doing? That's clearly the wrong way to face. But I think maybe the way to solve that is 2 units a tile. Because the whole, 10 units a tile thing was a bit ridiculous. But 2 units a tile, and always... If you can see the units in that tile, you know what's in there, as opposed to the stacks of death. You had no idea what was behind the first thing you attacked. So, but they're not going to... They're definitely not going to strip back and go back to the stacks of death. This is, as much as it's not perfect, way better mechanically and gameplay-wise if they can get the AI to work. Because in Civ 4, the AI could understand stacks of death. It's not so great at manoeuvring units around each other.
Yeah, it definitely improves with the expansions, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully they'll... Because have any of you seen what they're pricing the newest one at? I think they said it was £26.
Oh, okay.
I'll have a look. It was on RPS. I just read the article. But it sounds more like a standalone game because they're still using the Civ 5 engine. They've mainly just had to change art assets and implement a few new features, and sounds like they're going the right way about it with making it a bit cheaper.
What kind of interesting new features are there?
Well, there's... when you leave Earth, you get to decide a certain number of things, like which country you came from, and I forget the other ones, but there's a load of, like, you decide certain parameters, and then that sets up what people are on your spaceship. So you could have scientists or engineers, and they give boosts for when you get to the planet, like engineers, yeah, plus 10% build speed and stuff like that. And then when you get to the planet, you can decide between three separate paths to take, and Unity maybe one of them. Now I'm making this sound really bad.
So they were about like exploiting or integrating with the aliens, the planet and stuff.
I wasn't ready for these questions.
Can I just quickly say
yes?
In this football, Robin dies.
He's not. Well. He hasn't died this game. I haven't seen dive.
He
no,
just
he didn't.
Did.
He definitely wasn't diving there.
Or at least makes it way more dramatic.
Robin is the best player in this tournament.
Whoa! Yeah, let's back up a bit there.
I'm like a minute behind, but Robin is everything that's going
okay,
to football.
I've got no. Oh we're talking about video games.
I'll see. Oh, hold on.
Sorry, guys. Oh,
I'm a minute behind him.
We should have scored there. Fucking hell! It's 1 minute to the end. Oh.
We should, Jeremy. You should make another one of those.
It'll just be that.
At the end.
It won't be anything different. It'll just be that.
Well, they should have scored there.
Or maybe that'll be the intro.
Oh my
How
god,
How was that
well.
Not in? Stop laughing! You guys are out already. So you guys were humiliated in the group's phase. I will not have any
the
laughing.
Group phase,
yeah, well, go figure. Yeah.
So, hey.
Silly Irishman.
Anywho.
Sorry.
Shut up. I've now got the PC Gamer article in front of me. And you've got...
Hey,
shut up, Kim.
The
you've got... what you can choose to go on your ship. You've got colonists, cargo. You choose what type of colonists you want, what type of cargo you take, what sponsor you have on Earth, i.e. the country or corporation that you come from, and then the type of ship that you use. And all of those will affect the passive buffs you get when you land on the planet. You've also got purity, supremacy, and harmony. Purity is about keeping humanity pure. So what they do is they turtle. They build turrets and they point them outside the civilization to keep humanity intact and as pure as possible, i.e. not interacting with the outside alien world. Then you've got supremacy, which is big guns. Robots, tanks, mechs, big guns. Then you've got harmony, which seeks to be at one with the new alien planet. I think that one of their victory goals is to actually become one with the planet. It's tapping, and they find it's a living thing, I think. Maybe.
Instead of saying, I pulled up the article, you should just say, oh, I've got my notes here.
Oh, yeah, I should have. I got my notes here, and...
Let me just ruffle some more paper.
Yeah, ruffle. There we go. Oh, yeah, there. Paper.
There we go.
There we go. I've got it here now. So, yeah. And each one of the alignments has different victory conditions. Supremacy, you build a portal to go back to Earth. Then you kill Earth, essentially, because you apparently you realise that you're better than them. Purity, I don't know what they do. And as I said about harmony, they tap into the planet, realise it's real, and stuff. But yeah, so they've implemented more new mechanics to it, while it does look like Civ 5.
That start sounds a bit like crafting your own Civ, more or less, like just picking a set of...
Yeah, kind of like in Alpha Centauri. But a little bit less, which some people are not happy with. But I'm seeing it here, Amazon has it priced at £27.
That's not too bad.
I can't imagine Steam will have it much more, maybe £30. Because, you know, they like full money. Yeah, but no.
It's not bad for a brand new
game. That's what I'm saying.
Brand new, highly anticipated game.
I'm looking forward to it. Should we just move away from Luftrausers so somebody else can have a chance to talk? Luftrausers was the other game that I've been playing.
It's fun.
It is fun. It has a fun name. I'm dying now. Somebody else take over.
I dislike the mobile style of missions on it. Those sort of things always annoy me.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, to unlock parts, you have to complete... You get given 3 tasks at the start of the mission, depending on what parts you have equipped. So you can't actually advance until you've completed those tasks to get new equipment.
And the trouble is, it's like, you might get a mission later on that you've already completed, and then it comes up and you got to do it again, that sort of thing. So if the mission isn't in your objective list right now, it just doesn't exist. Fuck, it's annoying.
Okay, let's just, again... Football.
Yeah.
Second half has just ended, and all the physiotherapists are out. Just kind of making sure all the players are alright and kind of stretching them, keeping them warm. And they're just shaking all their legs. So there's just 11 guys all lying down, getting their legs shaken.
Haven't you ever gotten a good leg shake?
This is all that extra time is. It's people crying, they've got cramps. This is just going to be people crying, they've got cramps 30 minutes, and then we've got to get penalties. That's going to be.
One of the cool things about lift rouses is...
Get to rouse some good lifts.
Yes, there is that. Basically, the idea is you you customise your plane, you can choose either different guns... a different body or a different engine, and with each part that you select, they have their own track on the background music. So for each plane, there is actually like a unique song that goes along with it.
And name, don't forget really the cool. Name.
And names like the Batman or the Biohazard or
yeah
stuff like that.
Currently, I'm running with the starter engine, the body that blows up as a nuke. And to start again.
I actually, I started using the laser a lot with the, what body is it? One of them.
Wait a minute. Nazis didn't have lasers in World War II.
But the Allies didn't have giant fuck-off blimps either.
No. That's another issue with the,
That was a mistake.
Mission thing is currently... A lot of my missions are you have to kill a blimp to unlock this.
Yeah, that's
the issue being, I haven't found a blimp yet. One hasn't appeared for me.
I've only had them appear like 4 times, and I've only ever managed to actually see it once.
Yeah, mine's appeared like once, and then I died immediately. It was like, oh god, it's filling the radar. Dead.
Yeah. And then after you beat that, you get like their, I think it's SFMT mode, which is in all Glambia games. It's like super duper crazy hard mode. You do another set of missions in that. And then you unlock like the Ultra Rouser or the Ultimate Rouser or something like that. I forget what it is. It might be a spoiler.
Such rouse.
It might be a spoiler to look it up, but it's pretty fucking amazing what it is.
But the game is already really hard. Like, AA ships are really dickish.
The battleships, yeah.
Yeah.
You just got to, get down low over the top of them, and then you boost a little bit, and then just before they start firing, you boost the other way, and they're already tracked onto where you were supposed to be before, so they miss you completely.
Yeah.
And you just dance between them like that. 2 shots with a cannon, all good.
Yeah. My current plane's called Dumbo.
Dumbo.
So yeah, it's a pretty fun game. I managed to pick it up for like £2 in GOG. I think it was GOG, or it could have been Humble. It was probably Humble, actually.
Oh no, because you mentioned like the RM3 or something, didn't you? And GOG's having a big old freedom sale or whatever. Was that Humble? Okay, never mind. I'm completely wrong.
I have a recommendation on today's games.
I'm going to put that at the end too.
Everything's at the end. Buy these games instead of listening to us. Let people know what to expect. No, listen to us.
Yeah, I would recommend looking into Stick It to the Man, which is currently $3 of my dollars. It's a game where
one of those.
Basically, a drawing. Everybody is drawings. They're kind of fourth wall breaky about it, and you can read people's thoughts. And for some reason, people's thoughts have stickers in them, and you can stick stickers into people's thoughts and get them to fulfill their dreams.
It is currently £2.39 for 19 hours.
Yes, platformy, puzzly, and funny.
And inception-y.
And inception-y.
Stickers were in my thoughts in the 90s.
Or back in the 60s. You were just wondering, oh my god, what are these new inventions?
Turns out they were stickers.
It's because he's the old man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it already.
So yeah, games.
I don't know what else I had to say about it. It's funny. It looks cool. I haven't finished it, so I don't know how short it is. I would guess. I think I'm 5 or 6 chapters in. Each chapter is a level where you go around avoiding the people who work for the man who are trying to track you down and capture you. Because the reason you can read these people's thoughts is there is an alien parasite in your brain.
Like in Hitchhiker's Guide?
Sure. And it gives you a nice purple spaghetti arm that sticks out of your head. And that's what that's what you use to read people's thoughts. And find out what someone wants and then go and find the thing that will
when you're
solve
trying to read their
problem.
Thoughts, does it just pop out of your head and like it's like a periscope? It just like spins around.
Well, it's always on top of you, and it's I've been playing with the controller, and so it's controlled with one of the thumbsticks, and it's very well animated. Everything looks nice and fluid. I like that style of it's been a little while since I've played it, but I think it's 2D, but you can go back and forth a little bit in it, sort of like Castle Crashers. I don't know what you call that.
2.2.5D.
2.5D?
Yeah.
No, 2.5D is already a thing.
No, 2.2.5.
Oh. So 2.25?
I've played another game that I can talk about now that you've mentioned Castle Crashers.
Is it Battle Block
it's
Theater?
It's Battle Block Theater.
Which, again, I still haven't played.
Oh, Takuna, it's hilarious.
It's the... I was in love with it before the first cutscene
ever finished. Yeah, oh my god. And the scene was all like, psych! That was... Oh god. The humor in the game is brilliant. I would definitely, Takuna, just skip it to the front of your list, because it's not a big...
Well, I've been doing that with I did that with Spec Ops The Line, and I've ticked that off my list of games I have to play to get people off my back about.
Do you feel like a dick yet? Are you the worst person in humanity now?
No.
Yeah, you are. Did you complete it?
I did.
You should feel bad.
Well, I don't. We can carry on talking about Battle Block, and we'll get to that.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you have any more to say about it?
It's a very good game and people should buy it. Put it this way, they're the same developers that made Castle Crashers, but they seem to have learned about repetitiveness, because Lord Castle Crashers got repetitive really quickly. But in Battle Block Theater, as long as you're playing with another person, they're always seem, because it's a platformer, they've got more room to make stuff up every so often. So it essentially fixes the issue that I had when they made Castle Crashers. And it's one of the funniest games I've played recently.
I didn't really find that a problem in Castle Crashers, but I did play the entire game. Like, I've only ever played Castle Crashers with two other people. So, I guess that's always more fun anyway.
I got the two BattleBlock Theater and Castle Crashers at the same time in the sale, and I've been playing Castle Crashers solo, and it hasn't gotten that repetitive yet, but I get the feeling that it could be quite grindy and annoying sometime in the near future.
If you solo it. Yeah,
I imagine it can get very hard later on for one person. It was pretty hard with three people.
I'm grinding my character. Had like a level bloody 25 code before I even got to the alien spaceship. So not too much trouble as long as you grind, as long as you don't mind being bored and possibly not wanting to play it again.
Yeah, neither I nor my friends had to grind, but I guess that was because there was three of us, and we were then fit for every challenge.
Yeah, I just soloed it though. Yeah.
Yeah, I do find that is a problem for some games. It's a problem, actually, in pretty much any game that allows you to play the main campaign with co-op. The developers either developed it for a single-player experience, in which case co-op will basically ruin the experience for you because everything becomes trivial, or they developed it as a co-op game and it's... pretty much in some games anyway, pretty much impossible to play solo. Like Dungeon Defenders is like that. You get to like a point where it's like, nope, this is not a single player game. This was not designed to be played by one person. You need other people, or at least you need to have leveled other characters as well. But really, you need more than one person in each map. Like, it's designed for four people, so even two people are going to struggle, and that's. You know, that's just one of those game design things that I guess is really hard to remedy. I don't know. Maybe just like de-level enemies a bit for less players. I don't know how. Because there are some things where it's, you know, a little less. I don't know how to put it, but where it's less about just a scale of things, and it's about other elements, like in Dungeon Defenders, where it's, you know, you've got enemies coming from lots of different sides, and you can only be in one place at any given time, and you, given the mana that's available to you in the first few levels, you can only put so many defenses in so many places, and you're just stretched too thin, and you simply can't look after everything, and it's like, well, you know, clearly this wasn't made for just me, but that's, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Would any of you call that like a like an element of bad game design, or do you think like some games are just allowed to be multiplayer experiences and like, you know, play it at single player at your peril?
Dungeon Defenders also just gets terribly boring when you play it by yourself. That's another thing.
Yeah,
I can imagine. We could talk about Spec Ops the Line.
I think we should.
If we do, someone message me in the chat. When you're finished.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Call me saying this out of it, because it's just weird.
All right. Okay. Is there anyone else who
Super
doesn't want
spoilers.
It is really... I was just going to talk about it without spoilers. I don't know. Do we want to do
it?
I haven't played it, but isn't it just like Apocalypse? Isn't it just like Apocalypse Now, or whatever? Isn't it kind of that story?
Not really. The premise of the story is Dubai's been hit by a huge sandstorm and...
Like, oh boy.
Yeah.
Massive.
Massive, like, yeah. And there are terrorists everywhere, supposedly, which is what you've been told.
I see yeah. What could happen. Yeah, all right.
Have you?
Well,
have
I guess an inkling of what could happen.
Well, at the start of the game, they're not terrorists, but they're insurgents. They're bad people.
Don't know about that.
It's in the starting cutscene where you're all walking in.
And this is stuff that happened right at the beginning of the game, but it seemed like it was a surprise to them when they saw that, you know, there had been combat in the area. That was something they weren't expecting.
I could be remembering it wrong and you could be right.
I don't know. I found it very unclear what was going on a lot of the time.
I don't know how you expect to talk about it without spoilers.
Okay. I'll plug out.
From here. I'm deafening.
Alright, I'm gone.
Alright, spoiler alert to anybody who's...
Alright, tell me when.
Any listener that actually exists.
So everyone's out who wants to be out?
Yeah.
Cool. Right, so... yeah, I found it unclear and a bit difficult to like in the very beginning. To be honest, I'm not a shooter guy. I'm really not a military shooter guy, and I had to just kind of accept that. And at the beginning, I was kind of like, okay, well, at least I'm told it's short, so I'll be able to have like a critical opinion of this game. And I was playing a kind of game that I'm not so interested in. I'm just going to be learning lots of shooting and stuff, and whatever, you know. It's not the end of the world. But, you know, so the guns feel good. You know, I liked the guns. I enjoyed the M4A1 feels. That's like the gun you start with. Feels very precise, very efficient. Nice big mag. I also enjoyed the more snipery ones later on, like the 417. But the everything between the... You like being in cover was pretty balls. I don't know. It like I was talking about this with a friend the other day because he's like the main one that's been going at me to play this game, and so what I think is the problem is that when you get these games that are very well and heavily animated. The animations can sometimes take precedence over your input. So I'd be trying to move around to get to a different piece of cover, and it's like, I've got the path I want to take to get from here to there, and it's just not very good at responding to that, because if I'm barreling off in this direction and then want to change to that direction, like, I don't know why, but whoever animated this seems to think that, you know, if you do that, you obviously have to manage it like a drunk man, or a man who weighs twice as much as a normal man does. And it's just all very, very unwieldy. Whereas, because the comparison I drew was with Mass Effect, where it's actually quite responsive, even though it's, you know, quite cover shootery. And the reason I think that is because Mass Effect has... pretty awful animations. You know, your legs just kind of run and follow where you want them to go. I mean, you know, it doesn't really matter because you don't really see your legs very often. But it's not really trying so hard in that regard. And I think that means your input is recognized and you know, delivered on much faster. It just made moving around annoying, and it didn't really matter too much because all the action tends to happen behind cover. The main reason I brought it up was because I had the same issue in Last of Us, where it was much more of an issue, because Joel, the character in Last of Us, really does handle like a drunk man. And he's made it very unfun. But anyway, so Spec Ops, in terms of like gameplay, you know, fidelity, it was fine. There were a few moments... where it felt a bit annoying, like the bit where the helicopter's shooting at you through the windows. I had to do that a few times. I'm not sure how they expect you to do that, like, first time, because you are supposed to just run along and let the helicopter shoot at you, but only sometimes will you make it. And then you've got to, like, survive the random explosions on the platform that you get to afterwards. But, so, like, the earlier portions of the game I felt were, you know, sort of mediocre to negative. There are also issues with... I don't really play military shooters, and apparently this is something that happens in all of them, but I didn't buy into the fact that I was basically gunning down hundreds of guys. You know, like, they all just turn up to get shot to pieces.
That's every military shooter, in a nutshell.
Sure, and I'm told that I've basically played the best one, so it's like, okay, fine.
You played the one with the better narrative.
Sure, so it's like, okay, so this is just one of the military shooter tropes that I'm just not used to. It's like why people find anime so hard to get into, you know, it's just the tropes that people who are used to it, you know, it just doesn't bother them anymore, and I guess it's the same in these military shooters, but, you know, I'd have much rathered if there were far fewer enemies and you had much more reason to stay in cover and to not get shot, because my word, like, Wolverine in the X-Men universe, in the Marvel universe, was apparently in World War II. It's no wonder the Allies won. It's so OP. You know, just kind of pop behind cover and, like, clench, and all the bullets just pop out and you're good to go again. And without the, without, like, the fiction of shields and Omnigel or whatever, it was a bit immersion-breaking, but whatever, you know, shooters, apparently it happens all over the gaff, but, you know, there just were moments where I was just gunning gunning people down on a turret, just, you know, like, there was one section where you're gunning people down on multiple levels in front of you, and, like, covering your two squad mates.
I hated that bit.
Yeah, it was like, wow, these guys don't understand that they're about to die, these enemies. They're just, like, lining up. And you gun down in that one section alone at least 50 people. It just felt very, very silly. However, getting toward the end of the game, I suppose, like, maybe halfway through, I guess, where things really start kicking off. Oh, I suppose I should say, before getting to that bit, was the bit that you probably think is the, like, massive I am the worst human moment.
Well, yeah.
Which was the white phosphorus.
You white phosphorus children.
No, I didn't, and here's why. Like, there are all those soldiers, and Lugo's all going like, that's white phosphorus, this isn't right, man! And it's like, well, this is kind of war, you know, okay, they're Americans, but...
International law and all.
And it doesn't really matter. And, well, oh, is that like a... Is that...
It's under the... White phosphorus is under the Geneva Convention as not being able to be used along with napalm. Because it sticks to the body and burns. You can't get it off.
Well, even in, like, even in, like, war-type combat situations.
Yeah, no, flamethrowers. Essentially, it's any sort of flame weapon.
Okay, I didn't know that. But, whatever. So, alright, I figured at the time that Lugo had just, like, massively changed his tune from the earlier decision, where he was like, no, we need the guy with the information, not the civilians. And was just being a baby about it now. So I just phosphorused all the military men, like, okay, well, you know, they're going to die anyway. Then we get to the end of the area, and there's a whole crowd of people that I suppose is supposed to be, like, a big, juicy target. But I could see very clearly that they're kind of milling around aimlessly without guns. It's like, oh, those are obviously civilians. Ah, I see what the developer's trying to do here. They want me to have, no, you are the monster moment. So I was like, okay. And I tried very carefully to blow up that Jeep thing without... Because I'd got a good idea of how big the area for the white phosphorus was. The splash damage. And I tried to blow up the Jeep. Anyway, it triggers, like, a whole thing where it then just spills white phosphorus everywhere. And I was like, no. And this is like one of the one things in Mass Effect that I'd reload for, is if I felt the game misinterpreted my decision. So I was like, all right, reload. So I did it again, and I just left it for that final Jeep and just let the machine thing wind down. And I figured, all right, well, we've killed most of the guys. We'll just deal with the Jeep on our own. Nope, you die.
Yeah, you have to.
It will not let you not kill those civilians. So I felt pretty cheated at that. You know, it was, for me, a forced fail moment. So I was like, all right, fine. And I basically just nuked the civilians. And then we wander up there, and it's like, these were women and children. It's like, don't you feel bad? Don't you feel bad, you monster? And yeah, it didn't have any effect on me whatsoever. I don't know. It just... I missed that moment entirely.
Did you realise that you were going crazy before the end, though?
Well, it becomes very obvious, shortly after that. And that was a really good scene with the strobe light room.
Oh, what? No, the strobe light. I was talking about the two hung people that were actually...
The hanging bodies? Yeah, no. That was... I don't think you could work that out first playthrough. Because, you know, they look like people.
The cutscene, if you could hear them at the back, and like, what the fuck... You can hear them saying, like, what the fuck's he doing? So, like... It's clearly not painted as you are insane, which is what I liked.
Which is good. The first clue I got that I was going mental was in the strobe light room with that heavy dude, which was really good. That was effective. Speaking of the heavy dudes, don't like them. I don't like that I can lodge into his brain like 8 pieces of metal before it stops working. That shouldn't happen. But it does. Anyway, so that's what I saved my sticky grenades for. So I kill him. And whatever. I thought that was effectively done. What else interesting was after that? Oh, there's like the radio tower thing. And you go up and kill the guy, fly away in the helicopter. That was great, by the way. I think on the Creating Cobar, like on the back when it was PC Game Podcast, they mentioned how fun it was in the best bit of the Far Cry 3 storyline was when your character basically loses it and has as much fun as you are, sort of torching those weed fields.
Yeah, just running through, going, "Wow, this is awesome!"
Yeah, but getting on that minigun and. Annihilating that radio tower felt amazing. And, you know, I'm like one of those people who burst fires and conserves ammo and goes for headshots. So I was sort of choosing targets before. They came a bit where there's just so many dudes and you got to, like, shoot all the struts and stuff and just sort of, like, wailed on it. And Mr. North gives a very gratifying... which was just great, because it was at that moment that I just sort of let rip. And then, like, that you get the helicopter scene that you start with, you know, sort of like the flash forward you have in the beginning, you get your helicopter shooty thing, and I like the line he says there, where he's like, "No, this is wrong, we did this already." I don't know, a tiny fourth wall breaky joke, didn't mind it. And then blah blah blah, more shooting men, you get to...
What ending did you get?
Okay, so you find out you're crazy.
The bad guy's
shot.
Been you all along.
Yeah, you've been the bad guy all along. I didn't see that coming.
I didn't. I was like, oh,
yeah,
he died.
it's not like it hasn't been done before, but I thought it was elegantly done in this. It worked. I chose to live because, you know.
But how did you choose to live?
I shot Conrad.
Yeah, no, when the soldiers turn up.
Oh, right, I then dropped my gun.
You dropped your gun?
Yeah, because I've done bad things. And, I've also been psychologically, incapacitated pretty much. And I need help. Is the way I saw it. I say I. It's one of those sort of games where it's like, you know, I think it's more about that character's experience, and I think that's important, an important distinction in a narrative sense, because I kept trying to play the game as me in this situation, and that's quite clearly not the case. That's quite clearly not what the developer's going for, and that's fine. I think I don't think that you need to sort of like have that fully immersive you are the soldier situation in every game, because and it's frequently my criticism of games that do sort of remove your agency and just sort of, you know, show you a movie. It's make a movie, for crying out loud. And but I think that this is one of those movie games that sort of takes full advantage very effectively of its game mechanics to make a more immersive movie-like experience, such as, you know, the you going crazy bits. It that is one of those like gaming decisions I don't mind taking away from me, because if they're trying to show you the experience of a soldier losing it, they can't say, well, do you want to play as the soldier who slowly loses it, or do you want to play as a soldier who, it's like, callously but coldly sort of goes on, or as the inspirational dude or whatever. It's like, no, you never choose to go crazy. So if ever you want that as like an immersive experience, I quite liked how they just kind of force that on you. That's effective storytelling in that sense, and I don't mind that. I think that's maybe the best I've seen going crazy done in a game. I think the only way you could possibly do it better is to have, and I think there have been games that do this, have done this before, but I don't think I could name one off the top of my head, where they just like make you doubt yourself, like you yourself, you're not sure, quite sure what's going on. I think the closest I can think of was in, and this, does anyone care about spoilers for Arkham Asylum? I haven't even played that game yet. I don't know about this one. Yeah, apparently there's like a section where you get Scarecrow.
Yeah, you get Scarecrow gas.
And it makes your, it's sort of like BSODs. And so it makes you scared. It makes you think that your game has crashed.
Yeah.
And that's quite effective, I guess. But that kind of thing, where it just like leaves you guessing, and you're not quite sure whether your character's sane or not, I suppose would be the most effective way of doing it. But in terms of you know, sort of a more brute force narrative, I think that this game did it in a very elegant way.
Yeah. The interesting thing here is your praising the game's mechanics, whereas people that have played more military first and third person shooters find it to be mechanically lacking, but the story to be the compelling part.
In what way is it mechanically lacking? In terms of,
the combat feels sticky, and the guns you mentioned felt good, felt to me and other people that I've spoke to pea shooter-ish, and there wasn't really much difference between them, and there was never really a reason to take one gun over the other unless it was specifically of a different class of weapon.
Yeah. Sure.
The cover system also isn't the best.
Yeah. Oh, no, the cover system was awful.
Yeah.
I did mention that. But the guns, the reason I liked the guns was because I felt that there was a lot of expression between them. Like, I'm not so interested in, well, this gun is better than this gun, in terms of, like, this, you know, like, this one's got a better TTK, and this one's, you know, this one requires less headshots, or, you know, this one, I don't know, it was just, like, the M4A1 felt efficient in the, compared to the other guns, like the AK, even with its burst fire, it felt sloppy. And in that sense, I felt that the if I had been going for other play styles, the game would have catered to that. Well, it's just how I felt it. I suppose, like, in terms of the five different kinds of weapons, perhaps, like, there wasn't much difference between weapons within each group, but I don't know. I'm not really a shooter connoisseur, so, yeah, I can see why other people might have more refined opinions than I.
Yeah, no, that was,
I suppose, when you say pea shootery, is that, like, because
the weapon, the sound effects and the impact that the weapons have on the environment and the enemies is little to none.
Okay, yeah, I'd forgotten about the environment.
Sound being one of the, for the weapons, one of the worst that I've heard in a while.
Huh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
but should we invite everybody back in there?
Sure.
This Netherlands game is super tense.
What's the score?
It's 0-0, but it's become like a really fast-paced game all of a sudden, and it's great. There was some crazy Netherlands shots.
Wait, it's the 120th minute?
It is.
Shit.
Extra time.
Anywho.
120th minute. How long do football games last?
90 minutes,
but this is extra time. Yeah.
120th minute?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's half 90 an hour, minutes, but it's extra time.
Yeah,
15. There's two halves. Yeah.
Huh, I didn't
and after
it
this, it'll be a penalty shootout.
It probably will.
Yeah.
1 minute at a time, 30 seconds into it.
But yeah, Kian, what have you been playing?
Nothing.
Yeah, because you suck.
Civ, and that was it, because I've been doing other things.
Speaking of Irish.
Yeah.
Jeremy?
Is it my turn? Oh, I've only been playing two things, really, and one of them is weird, so I'll go with the less weird one. Oh, that too, yeah. Didn't count that, because you'd already talked about it.
Okay.
It's your fault.
Yeah, alright.
I've also played other games, but other people should probably talk first.
Yeah, we'll get to you, Tim.
Again.
Yeah.
Jammy's barely said anything.
Well, that's fairly common, really.
Yeah, this is the only time we can get him to actually talk.
Reluctantly.
Yeah, he's not a big fan.
Do you say things to your victims? Like a nice little requiescat in pace or something? Or like, tell Satan I said hello, or something.
I read really bad emo poetry.
To them, that's cruel.
I have been playing a game called Banished.
Oh,
indeed. That looks like a very relaxing but very stressful game.
Mm, I bought it because I thought this looks relaxing, nice and soothing. Child Sarah has starved to death.
Child Sarah.
No food.
Poor Child
There's
Sarah.
No food. I've got all the fields going. There's
nobody has
all the crops.
A coat. It's winter tomorrow.
I've got a hunter out. No food. Everyone's starving. There's no wood left because the woodcutter's turned all the wood into firewood because he's a dick. I don't know what to do. I think my first village only lasted about 50 minutes before it completely crumbled. Oh, I'm not sure. It kind of reminds me of Dwarf Fortress and Stronghold, but without any combat. It's kind of like that, if you can kind of imagine it like that. I said the word that a
imagine.
Lot.
Imagine. Imagine this like imagine.
And imagine. Imagine all the imaginations.
You can do Stronghold without any combat.
That's true, yeah. You can do that.
So is this... It's an RTS, is it?
It's more of a management game. It's a city builder, really. You build cities and there's people. You can't directly control any of them.
City building, roguelite, survival, challenging game, video.
It's a city builder where everyone will starve eventually.
You will starve, you will die, and you will fail at society.
It appears to be that way. I don't know if it's possible to make a town that's self-sustaining to the point where it will never fail. I don't know how, because I can't get it to even start. Everyone just dies. Dies in the summer. I've not even gotten to the winter yet. I don't know how people do that. Wizardry, apparently.
But is it good?
It's pretty good, yeah. I wish... The UI is kind of dull. That's the only complaint I can think of. It's just grey boxes with words and numbers. Other than that, nothing wrong with it.
Is it as pretty as its screenshots suggest?
It's quite good looking. It's not actually graphically that impressive. It's just that sort of good aesthetic. It looks nice.
It's very charming, yeah.
Yeah, it's got quite fuzzy textures if you zoom in too far, but don't. Also, people walk through things a lot.
But don't.
Don't.
Is it still in early access?
No.
Was it ever in early access?
I don't think so. It just came out. It just appeared out of nowhere. I never heard a thing about it, and then it came out, and then it existed. But I knew it was hard. I just didn't... I thought it would be kind of slow and relaxing.
Yeah, when I saw the trailer, I felt... Like, even though I don't play management games, I felt very compelled to buy it just because of how serene it looked.
It's nice. It looks nice, and it is soothing until Child Starer dies of starvation. And then you cry.
That girl looked like she was about to cry.
It's like if Oregon Trail had pretty graphics.
Yes.
Or at least
it's
pretty
just
aesthetic.
Deceptive.
Jammy, should I buy?
Do you like incredibly hard management city building games?
I get frustrated with the incredibly easy ones.
Well, you could try it. It's got a lot of depth to it.
Good. Because the issue with Tropico is you get to a certain point and then you can't lose.
Yeah, I don't know if this could ever happen in Banished. I have not played it for very long, so I'm not an expert. And I probably never will be, because I suck at it. The other game I've been playing is Ultima 4, but I probably won't go into that too much.
Yay.
Do you want to hear about a game that came out in 1985?
Yes.
I want to tell you all about
it. I've never played an Ultima game.
Go ahead.
God, I'm going to have to explain this. Have you actually told everyone that the spoilers are gone?
I don't care. I'm never going to play it.
Yeah.
No, I mean for Spec Ops
everybody,
the Line.
Yeah, everyone's back, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wasn't here, I went away.
Oh, right.
Well, you play... you make a person, and you go in a place... Mm-hmm. I don't know how to describe this very well.
You made a good start. Solid.
Yeah.
You made
so which
solid
Ultima
start.
Game is...
4.
Which Ultima is this? 4.
I'm going to find something for you. Yeah, I'm going to find a picture so you know what this looks like. Do you have perspective on this?
Oh, Crest of the Avatar, yes.
First penalty.
Anything to do with the Shroud of the Avatar?
That's what it looks like.
Come on,
yes.
Netherlands.
It's great.
Okay, so it's like Zelda.
I've in fact played Ultima 4, Crest of the Avatar.
This is... yeah.
It's,
I played games that looked like this on, like, CDs with like, 1,000 games, you know, that you get from, like, PC World.
It's, not the thing about it. There's no ultimate evil in the game.
Yeah, there's no villain. The whole story is about being a nice person, you're trying to become the Avatar, which means you have to perfect, you have to... be
airbending,
an example in all of the virtues.
Earthbending and firebending.
Yes.
I didn't even think of that.
Isn't the box out just a guy holding like an ank on top of a stick?
It's basically
pretty
the
much,
same
yeah.
thing.
Where are the virtues? I'm trying to find them.
I thought you meant one of the good parts.
There they are.
The
stream keeps freezing.
Honesty, compassion, valor, justice, honor, sacrifice, spirituality, humility.
Audrey?
Those are the virtues.
So the enemy is... human nature.
Yes, actually.
Crap band.
Yeah. I need you to delay your reactions, though.
Oh, well, it's 1-1.
But it is a game, so the way it tracks your progress is gamey, and kind of hard to work out sometimes. Like, the best way to progress in compassion is to just go and donate as much of your blood as possible, then heal yourself and donate more blood, and then heal yourself and donate more blood.
Have you got to
you
the kick
just...
No, because...
Football.
Football, dude.
Football.
Do you want to know? Because you'll have missed it now.
Yeah, why not?
2-0. Well, it's 1-1 that Costa Rica missed. Oh, it was saved. Go on.
More Ultima.
Honor is the easiest one, though, in Ultima, because that's just, it's the one you get the most, kind of. Because it's just, doing dungeons.
Yeah.
Gets you honor.
Wow, home invasions and grave robbery. So honorable.
I think I want Costa Rica to win. They've all knelt down to pray.
Yeah. They're the least likely team. They were the least likely team to win at 4,000-1.
Oh.
So when the
they've
whole
all knelt down. I feel really bad. I've not even done it.
I can't find a place to turn it on.
It's quite advanced for an 80s game. I'm just shouting now because I need to get
That's
into this.
That's your shouting?
Yeah, this is my shouting. Talking very slightly louder. You can get horses and ships, which I
thought
was kind of cool. I didn't expect that.
You can get horses and ships.
You can get horses and ships.
Yeah,
great.
Oh, dude. there's horses.
Yeah.
Really... I've heard loads of good stuff about the Ultimate games, but I never played any of them.
I might play the new one.
Which one's that?
Shroud of the Avatar.
Ah, that one, yeah. I have not donated any money to that.
Oh, wait, no, it's an MMO. I might not play it.
Does that put you off?
Puts me off an immersive experience, yeah. And I got the impression that's kind of what Ultima's for.
Ha! Ultima's for! We're talking about Ultima 4.
Shut up, go to football.
Has anybody here played Divinity?
Yes.
I wish to hear about that from you. Original Sin.
I have played all of about... Well, I got it in Early Access, and every time they updated Early Access, it would, reset your save and that. So, basically, I've only ever played about the first hour of it, but that hour is interesting enough to make me want to keep playing more.
Hold on. What channel is this on for you?
I'm on BBC Sport.
Just ignore them.
Jeez.
It'll end once the World Cup ends.
Like in 7 months.
The football will never end. It's officially on forever. No one will ever be determined as ever winning the football.
Come and watch the football there.
Constant,
forever.
Non-stop, never ending.
The football is mandatory and will never end.
It's going to move.
Find out who the winner is for this season, because next week there'll be more football to decide who the next winner is.
To find out who has won the football this time, at least, and indeed at most.
Okay, Jeremiah, just talk over them.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's nearly finished anyway. But, it's combat. It's quite fun. It's turn-based. It's all based on action points sort of thing. So moving this far costs this many points. Using this ability costs this many points. And
our big black wall, fuck the Dutch.
Righto, fuck them, I guess.
mumble chat jokes.
I went to the cinema yesterday to watch Transformers Extinction.
Is it good? Is it
really long?
How much lens flare? How much lens flare is there?
Fucking loads.
You don't say. Michael Bay film.
Oh my god. Yeah, but he went over the top. Less explosions, more lens flare.
Wasn't there a fire-breathing mechanical Tyrannosaurus in there that's ridden by Optimus Prime?
It makes sense in the story.
I'm sure it does.
Do you want me to explain?
I'm kind of excited now to see it. If there really is a fire-breathing T-Rex in it, that is somehow justified by the story. That makes it very, very mysterious.
It is justified by the story.
You saw the T-Rex, you thought, like, oh, well, fair enough.
No, because they transform into dinosaurs.
Ah, well, yeah, that's a given, isn't it? Kind of.
What did Transformers transform into when there were no cars?
Into Cybertronian vehicles.
No.
Get on my level, scrub.
Don't get on your level. My level has dinosaurs.
Yeah. Don't they still turn into cars in, like, the Return to Cybertron stuff?
We'll ignore.
Sorry.
We'll ignore,
sorry, man. That.
Transformers makes sense.
David Willis of Dumbing of Age and Short Pack fame has exposed me to so much Transformers stuff that I somehow know a lot about it, even though I'd never, ever read anything about Transformers.
I discussed this with Jeremiah on Skype. It's a kids' film.
Yeah.
To sell toys.
Uh-huh.
Like the older films were. And they're good for what they are. I like
true.
Them.
Did it make you buy any toys?
Oh, I want to buy a T-Rex toy.
Would a toy breathe fire, though?
Probably not.
Yeah. Damn you, health and safety.
Ruining everything.
Oh, wow, Oddwood's on Skype.
Yeah,
I should take screenshots.
You mentioned Topic Chunder, so I thought I'd check into the, billions and billions of message notifications.
Have you accepted me yet?
I have a pending request. I've been During the summer sale, I was playing a bunch of things, such as we talked about Castle Crashers and Battle Block Theater. I got Bastion and was playing that, and that's nice. Brothers, which I know is going to be talked about in yesterday's podcast that I have not listened to because I'm still listening to last week's, but I had to put Brothers aside because I don't think my laptop is playing well with it, and I couldn't. I was clipping into a cliff and dying. It was kind of surreal and frightening. But yeah, Brothers, Bastion, Castle Crashers, Battle Block Theater, and then I made the stupid mistake of purchasing Terraria, and it has eaten my soul.
It's very good.
I don't know what I'm doing with my life.
He's playing it now.
You're mining lots of blocks. Are you actually playing Terraria right now?
I am.
God,
I have been playing for 2 hours. Or I guess more than 2 hours. I've been playing for the whole chat.
Show it to me.
Take a screenshot now.
I'm going to see it live, man.
How can I invite you in?
I can show you the world. Shining, shimmering, splendid.
I've given myself a goal that I'm working towards, which is I'm currently in a world and I'm collecting a lot of stuff, and eventually, it might be this world or I might do another one, I would like to build a facsimile of a complete desert through Yama journey through Spelunky in Terraria.
Wow, okay. Yeah. on my first Terraria world, I never progressed it, at least for ages, I never progressed it into hard mode. And before that happened, I was like building my town and stuff in it, and it was all attractive and stuff. And then a friend and I had an idea to make a world that we wouldn't care about like what it looked like or anything. We were just going to exploit it. And it's like just drain it of its resources and things. So we called it America. I don't know if. I can't remember quite what the joke was. I don't think it was that we want to go and destroy America, but that's how it turned out. Anyway, we did that, and it was great fun and everything, and we had a floating house that we kept all our people in, which really looked quite a lot like a prison, because that was just the most efficient way to do it. No, the goal I made for myself on my original world was to mine every block. I didn't get very far with it. I just have a giant chasm somewhere that goes all the way down to the underworld. Maybe I'll go back and do it someday. It was quite therapeutic, just mining down and then flying back up and mining down again. Just undoing the world. Similar to Terraria, I've been playing Edge of Space, which is the one that has official Terraria content, apparently. That is not an easy game to pass. It might get easier later, but currently it's very difficult to understand how to progress through all the different technology, where to go to find anything you might want. It's got some very deep communication issues, and there are a lot of systems in play to do with like reviving and stuff. Like you res in these like cryo tube things, and if you've got cryo rods in the cryopods, then you don't lose your stuff, I think, and it's just a free res, I think. The current issues we're facing, for example, and how we don't necessarily know how to overcome them, is we want to go mining for stuff to build stuff, and that's a whole other issue. We don't exactly know what we want to build and why, but there's these little crab things that are so annoying because they just have tons of HP and they jump around and they're such a nuisance to deal with. It's like, we need good guns. That's what we need to do. We need to make good guns. You can only make one gun. You need different schematics for different guns. And we don't know how to get schematics. We have no clue where schematics come from. You're just on like an alien planet. where do you go looking for schematics, like in the wilderness? Do you research them? We've no idea. We don't know what we need to build or anything. It's also a bit tricky to interact with stuff. it's a bit unintuitive even if you've played these sorts of games before. There is a tutorial that teaches you this, but you have to hit X while hovering your mouse over something to select the item that you want to obtain. Then you, once it's got the little arrow over it, you hit X on it again, little timer comes around, then it drops. That's only for certain items though, like objects that you place on the, I don't even know what to call them, like, you know, base things like torches and machines and things. All that said, it's got the same kind of, you know, exploration buzz that Terraria has, and I think, yeah, to a similar sort of extent, Minecraft, you know, where especially on this one, because it's all just floating islands, and your jetpack is crap. So you're really, like, limited in your traversal of these floating islands. It's quite fun in that regard. And, you know, it's got the same sort of mining thing. It's quite fun if you enjoy that kind of thing in these games. But, yeah, difficult to get through the first few moments. I've yet to decide whether or not it's a game I, you know, that will last a long time. I've only played a few hours.
Yeah, I really wanted to play Terraria without touching a wiki, but I couldn't do that.
Oh, really? Hmm.
Does Terraria have Steam Cloud support yet?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I think in order to join... Let's see if I can join Oddwood's game through... Oh, Steam Cloud support, you're saying? What?
Yeah, so like syncing your saves and all that sort of stuff.
I have no idea.
Because I did play it a little bit when it first came out, and I got a decent character, and then I dropped my laptop and new one, and my character was gone, and I couldn't be bothered doing it again. But you know, if they implemented that, it would be nice.
Type me your IP address in like Skype or something.
Goodness. Okay.
And then I can join your IP. I can join your game. Oh, you'll also have needed to open up a port. I wonder if that will make a difference.
I don't
it might not.
Open, and I don't have access to the router. So.
Well, you're gonna go anyway. Otherwise, it doesn't really matter.
And there's a zombie attacking me. Oh, okay. I'm in multiplayer, so auto pause is off. So I'm going to get into my house, so I can look up my IP address without being devoured. So when I started Terraria, I recalled people mentioning it on the forums. So I did search for it, and I saw a long time ago, Moose Demeanor said he had a server for it. So I was going to ask if that was still in existence and see if any CNCers wanted to do anything.
Yeah, I forgot about this post where Bob got really angry at the new... BBC Five Live podcast for no reason.
Yeah, it was fine. There was, I remember there were two moments when I kind of cringed. I'm trying to remember. One was something gender related.
Nice.
Oh, this is the Jot one. I don't like this one. There's another one with the same guy, which is just about games, and he had a few interviews and about Eve, and he explained it pretty well. Because he was at the EVE con. I think it's the other two people more that he's complaining about.
Yeah, I think it was one of the guys said something about, like, you can play as a girl and she doesn't look necessarily sexy, like is standard in video games.
I don't know what this is. The BBC have been saying unintelligent things about gaming.
It was, I mean, it, this, from what I could see, it was a, I don't know if it was a, an actual gaming podcast or maybe just technology.
The Jot one is just technology, yeah, I think so. There's another one which is just gaming.
It is.
They're nice and short, I like them.
This is the forum link. Oh, no, it's already in the chat. Jammy is a master wizard.
I used to spend an enormous amount of time trying to trap the guide in a pit underground.
Oh, that's easy.
I know, but I had to engineer the most perfect way of getting him in there and sealing him in.
Yeah, you do that for his own safety. I found it like tricky in the beginning, like nailing him down to stop him from walking over the mountains you were building to make him make him stop moving and to like encase him for his own good.
For his own safety.
Well, otherwise he just gets pulled apart by zombies.
Eaten, yes.
And he doesn't need food, so...
He doesn't need air either, which is why I encase him underground. For his own good.
Yeah. Do you need air in Terraria?
Yes.
Yeah. Not NPCs, though. I think they can actually stand underwater forever.
Oh, yeah, water, that was it. I thought... Yeah, okay, weird. There's a pretty neat mechanic in Edge of Space where the further down you go, the more radiation exposure there is, and so you need better armor to go deeper down. It's quite a nice way of gating the different armors, because to get to the materials you need to make the higher levels of armor, you're going to need, like, you need the previous types of armor to get to it.
To get low enough to dig it up.
Yeah. Which I thought was pretty cool. And going deep actually is quite exciting. It is more exciting, I find, than in Terraria or in Minecraft, because, as I say, it's all floating islands. So when you get to the bottom of your floating island, and, you know, as I said, the jetpacks are crap. It's a bit of a leap of faith. You know, you want to get as low as you can and see if there's, like, any evidence of anything beneath you at all. And then you make a jump and it's like, you don't know necessarily that you can get back to where you jumped from. Obviously, like, you could build back up, but it's, like, more of an investment than just digging stairs down.
I should, upload my Spelunky Daily from today.
I should probably do Spelunky Dailies again.
Yeah,
I've been, ever since May 1st, I've been trying to speedrun the dailies.
I really should have bought Spelunky in the sale. It was like a euro or something.
And, Why wouldn't you?
Because I had left in the amount that I needed to spend and had to spend or wanted to spend. It was like 20 cent off.
Why didn't you ask? I would have given you. I want this game to poison everyone's lives.
It's not poison.
It's time poison.
Kind of. Time well wasted. Like, one thing I do in the sales is if I see a particularly good deal on, like, a game that I really, really like...
So check your inventory, Kia.
Whoa! Amazing. I feel bad. Need to get you something.
No, don't.
Oh my god, I have it from two people.
I think I sent it first.
Decline gift. I'm not getting you anything.
Yeah, I've got like 3 copies of Terraria, a couple copies of Magicka, a couple of copies left over from the like 10 or so copies I've bought. Because Magicka is just glory, glory, glorious.
Do you want some TF2 items or no?
No.
Yeah, I'm not giving you anything. You didn't give me anything.
Oh wait, have you rejected mine or Odd's?
Yeah, I rejected yours.
Ah, okay, fine.
Please don't talk to me about Steam Trade Offers.
I'm so sorry about that.
Well, it's still there.
So what happened was I tried to send you that offer, and I got a message saying this offer could not be made at this time. So I tried again later, and I guess The first one also somehow went through, but then since you got the items, they were no longer in my inventory, so I can't retract that offer, and everything's terrible.
Is Tamir or is it Jammy?
Not Jammy.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, it's still there in Steam. I got one trade notification forever. Just that little letter with the number one next to it. I can't get rid of it, and it annoys me so much. Every day I hate Oddwood just a little bit more.
I'll just have to delete my Steam profile.
That, even that probably won't fix it.
Wait, what is this?
I sent him a background and an emoticon, and it is stuck in his notifications.
It's so annoying.
Oh, right. Ah, oh, that would drive me up the wall. You can fix that by closing and opening Steam, surely?
Nope.
Nope.
By uninstalling and reinstalling Steam?
Possibly. But I don't know which end it would have to be on.
Closing your Steam account. Forever.
Just putting a bit of blue tack over that bit of your screen.
So I had the exact same thing happen to me that happened to, I think it was Andelect, during the summer sale, where my team won, and then I had three notifications. But then I realized it would actually have to be five notifications to be something good, because to win, you have to contribute points to your team, which means you would have gotten two Steam trading cards plus three games.
Random. With regard to the CNC forums, I haven't been on them much. How are they doing? Like, do we have new members ever?
Yes, it's sort of trickled down. We get a slow stream of new members. There hasn't been that much activity lately. There's usually every Friday when there's the new pod thread, there's stuff there. From what I would judge, there hasn't been a lot of new content discussion.
I think the Skype conversation has maybe killed it a little bit. Maybe instead of posting, it's like novel, interesting things that we just saw about games in the Skype chat. Maybe we should kind of get our fingers out and stick it on the forums for everyone.
Yeah, but I feel guilty if I don't write lots.
Don't. I don't. I won't judge you. Kane will. I won't.
But Kane is the judgiest of us all.
We won't ever come close to his word count. We should not even try. The man's just gushing with words everywhere. Just words, words, words. Freaking creativity and things, and eloquence.
Gah.
I used to write a lot, but like in forums and stuff, but that was back when the writing on the forum was the main thing I did for entertainment in a day. Not so much anymore. Now I play games and things, and read books, or listen to books, and read comics, and work, and listen to podcasts. There's so much entertainment these days. There's just too much. It has to stop.
No more entertainment.
I'm feeling far too, like, first world problems-y. I feel bad for having the problems I have.
That is.
I just remembered to. Yeah, that's crazy. I just remembered to walk, not right through the exit on my way to an altar with a damsel.
Don't. It's wrong.
I got my karmic comeuppance. From the sacrifice, I got paste, and then I forgot about that. 2 seconds later, bombed a giant spider for paste, and then realized.
Well, that's what you get for being weak.
That I was dumb.
The only damsel I'm willing to sacrifice is the sloth, because it's technically not really alive. It's just an embodiment of evil. It's disgusting. I hate it.
What?
Its head creaks when it turns. I swear, I think it's supposed to be a noise it's making with its mouth, but I don't think so. It's got a creaky neck. It's like some evil mannequin or something. It's got a creepy stare. I hate the sloth.
I'm just too lazy to reset it each time.
The sloth resets, like, every time you start the game, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm...
What's sloth? Yeah, what?
Well, I'm too lazy to make it right, the sloth again.
What?
I think.
If you go to the damsel select thing, I don't know if you need to select a particular one, but you just keep hitting A. You just keep selecting the same one, like, 100 times over, it'll be a sloth.
I think it has to be the dog.
Okay.
He says like 100 times.
It is.
That's not an estimate. It's 100 times.
And it'll turn into a sloth. And
all
it's
right, time to start this.
Vile. It's one of those things where I genuinely do not understand how people find it cute.
From playing the Olympics 2004 on the PS2, I can tap buttons on the controller incredibly fast.
Was that Athens?
Yes.
Yes, I played that. I played that.
It was like play pigeon shooting. Tap A really fast.
Nah, it was all about the high jump for me. I was good at that.
Yes.
Tricky stuff.
Oh, look, a sloth. Was that 100 times, or am I actually that fast?
Probably 100 times. Yeah, nah, there was I don't know what made me good at button mashing, like, properly fast, but I know that it was a serious competitive edge in Pokemon Stadium Kids Club for Rattata Run and that Voltorb Pikachu thing where you have to charge up the button by mashing it. Does old Bitey drop anything?
Yes. I don't remember what, but he drops a lot of stuff, I believe.
Huh. I've never killed
I've
him.
I've never done it myself.
My little brother did, so I've got the achievement. And I just can't be bothered to do it, because every time I get to him, it's like, I'm already in the jungle, and it's like, well, I'm doing kind of well, so I don't really want to waste this. And I have tried bombing him before, but that doesn't seem to be a viable way to kill him. Like, I've stuck him with 10-plus bombs before, but, like, my little brother killed him by using a shotgun. I can't be bothered to jump down and start shooting him.
If you can also get an anchor shopkeeper to jump down there, and he'll use his shotgun a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't need to kill things to get the achievement. You can be killed by them as well, which is how I got my old Bitey.
Really?
Journal entry. Yeah, I've never killed
Black Knight. No. Not the journal entry, the achievement.
I don't think there's one for old Bitey.
Yeah, there is.
I don't believe you!
I have no idea what they're talking about.
Old Bitey. It's a big old fish.
Is it a big piranha?
It is a big piranha.
Piranha.
Papa piranha.
Platypus.
Achievements. View achievements.
Now you're just saying what you're looking at.
Yes.
This has kind of devolved into...
No.
Nothing.
Huh. You know what? You might be right.
What?
I don't think I was so convinced that there was an old Bitey achievement. What is this? I was so convinced.
Well, see, now everything's okay from earlier because now I have the Kapala.
Nah.
And I need it because I have taken so much stupid damage this run.
Only time I get the Kapala is, maybe if I'm lucky in the jungle. Well, I suppose if you get to the jungle and you get, like, a Tiki Village and an altar nearby. But generally I get my Kapala in the ice levels because of all the Yetis.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. Oh no, useless Kapala, because I jumped into a piranha.
That's because you killed that damsel.
Uh-huh. None of them are pugs, though.
This sloth is great.
It's disgusting.
Oh, you don't like him. He has a cool...
Vile. You see his head creaking. Well, I hear it. You know. Whichever sense you experience that with.
Alright, let's try stealing this teleporter.
God, the teleporter. It's the teleporter I hate. It's the item I hate to love. I will always get it, and it will always kill me. But I do love it. The levels just become so fun. You can go anywhere, kind of. If it wasn't so random, I would get it every time. I'd like it more than the jetpack. And also if you didn't have to hold it in your hands,
yeah,
that really
sucks.
Either if it was completely consistent, or if you could wear it like a jetpack, then it would be like my favourite item ever. Like, I'd still use it even if it was random, if I could just hold things as well. As it is, it's kind of just relegated to, you know, a speedrunning tool, which is a bit sad, because it's really fun. But, like, how carefully you have to set up your jumps, you may as well just traverse the locations, you may as well just mine through things.
Yeah.
It's like, you think it's going to make your level faster, but nah, you get to the end and you've been like 3 minutes, because every jump has been so carefully thought out. Does make the ghost quite trivial, that's nice.
Kian,
I miss the Spelunky Explorers
have
Club.
Have you encountered the ghost yet?
Kian may very well be facing the ghost right now.
I just telefragged myself.
Lol.
I'm not quite sure how it happened. It looked like I should have... Oh no, I know exactly what happened. Yeah.
Anyway, topic chunder is basically over. So I'm going to leave, because I got some work and
all
things.
Right.
What time is it for you, Oddward?
All the clocks are just out of eyesight. It's 8 o'clock.
Oh, damn. Yeah. It's not 8 o'clock here.
Oh, my God.
It's considering alright, cheerio, guys.
I'm gonna post this video, right. Or at least a GIF of what just happened to me.
I look forward to it.
Alright, bye-bye.
Chunder, 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 chunder.